All right, good morning. Can I still hear you?
I don't know. Can you?
I sure can, out of one ear.
Fantastic. Wait a minute. Is that supposed to be like that?
Okay, so the way I have Audio Hijack hooked up is it is taking my Discord audio signal.
Okay.
And it is treating the audio coming into Discord as the left channel, and the audio coming out of Discord as the right channel.
Oh, that's fascinating. So the way I do this is I have just the microphone itself as the input on Audio Hijack. It goes through a low-pass filter. It goes through a couple of meters, because I like seeing the meters. And,
I'm sorry, you mean a high-pass filter, right?
No, I said, should I be using a high-pass? I've got a low-pass in there.
I mean, you should be using a high-pass.
Okay. You want me to do that now?
I mean, it doesn't particularly matter if you do it right now or not. I'm putting all the processing on you at the end anyway.
That's fair. Listen, I'm still at the kitchen table. I'm not done, but I'm nearly done with setting the desk back up. And when I do that, I'll set up a new thing on the Mac Mini, a new session in Audio Hijack, and I can ask you for what the fuck I should be doing. However, I'm still fascinated by your left channel situation. What the fuck?
Yeah, I'm all that I have going on in Audio Hijack right now is it's taking the application Discord.
Yeah.
It is splitting between channels.
Uh-huh.
Sending it into a recorder.
Okay.
And then feeding the feed back to me, but with the balance set entirely to the right, so I don't also hear my own recorded vocal.
Oh, interesting. All right, because you're doing into Reaper too, right?
Right. I'm recording into Audio Hijack. I'm recording into Reaper, and I have Craig recording. So in theory, right. I have three sources of truth here for my end, and I have two sources from you.
And one is none. So, you know.
I have two sources from you without you sending me anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay.
So.
I mean, no, I get it. I see the vision now. I was just a little bit confused. But not as confused as, And, you know, in retrospect, I guess it makes sense. I just hadn't thought about it. In our super secret text channel, we were just talking about the upcoming Taylor Swift album, which is being abbreviated TS12 online, because Swifties are like that. And your wife, your lovely wife, asked, TS12? Is she calling it that so her boyfriend can pollute web searches for TB12?
No, it's her saying that she's been a transsexual since she was 12 years old.
Ah, oh, that's what it is. And I guess it's partly the media environment I grew up in. I just didn't know that there was anybody in America who didn't recognize TB12 as being a reference to Tom Brady's personal brand.
I do not know Tom Brady's number.
Really? Not even his number?
No. Huh. Why would I know that?
I don't know. I feel like that's one of those numbers.
I don't believe
in
the Patriots.
Everybody knows Derek Jeter's number.
I could not tell you Derek Jeter's number. Was it 42?
No, it was 2. 42 is Jackie Robinson.
Ah, there we go. Okay. I knew there was a movie called 42.
Does that have anything to do with baseball?
Yeah, it's about Jackie Robinson.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it. All right, well, maybe you're the wrong person to ask. Well, no, this is the thing. You follow the NFL much more than I ever have.
It's so true, though.
And yet, here we are. I just, you know, we both grew up during the era when Tom Brady and the Patriots were fucking inescapable.
And I chose to escape.
I did, too, although much later. Much later. Granted, I grew up in New England, so, like, it's kind of harder to do when you're, like, in elementary school and middle school and they are just fucking winning all the fucking time. Like, you know, that's how people end up in cults. That's how people end up in cults.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
All right, that's where you drop the music, I think.
This is Idle Curiosities, a search-driven podcast by myself, Noel Midnight, and Liz Mulholland, where we dive into our search histories and then share what we've been Googling this week. Music by Noel Midnight. And that's Idle Curiosities, a weekly search-driven podcast, etc., etc.
Yada, yada, yada.
On the Taylor Swift topic, I'm really intrigued by this new record. I think it's really interesting that she's going for the color orange as her thing, since, you know, on tour for quite a while now, she's been popping in a lot of orange outfits, and so people have kind of been a little bit sus about the color orange. And now that's kind of coming true.
Yeah.
Like we're seeing orange in this whole marketing rollout for The Life of a Showgirl, right. Which I think that's really cool, because, like, obviously when you type in The Life of on any streaming service, the first thing that's going to come up is The Life of Pablo by who?
Ye.
That's right, Kanye West, or Ye as he likes to be called now.
Is it Ye? I guess that is correct. Mea culpa for mispronouncing that, but also fuck him.
So, obviously what Taylor's trying to do here is she's trying to jack Kanye's search results. So when you type in The Life of, the first thing that comes up is not the orange album from Kanye, but the orange album from Taylor. And
not
I think
even the
that's
orange
beautiful.
Box anymore. Valve is going to be so disappointed. No, I do think that's I do think that's part of the ploy here, because Taylor is always very aware of her image and the perception of her in the media and in the fandom.
The thing is, she's done a really good job of inspiring conspiratorial thinking among her fans, which I think is great. I think that's wonderful. I think it's really good that somebody is finally leaning into the fact that all that women want is to feel the way that guys feel when they watch Fox News. And I respect her for finding that market and running so cleanly with it.
You know, there are worse candidates for that particular ploy. You know, there are people who could be doing that, and you'd be like, you know, I wish you weren't doing that specifically. Like Jared Leto.
Oh, God. Fuck Jared Leto. I fucking hate him so much. I'm so mad that he's ruining the new Tron movie for me.
Yeah.
Because all I want to do is go to the cinemas and watch a movie. So can you tell me why you searched How Long is Naked Gun in Cinemas?
Oh, I'm glad you took that bait, because I was about to steer us towards it anyway. Yeah, so this is more of a general, actually, just an excuse for me to pepper you with some questions about
General actually.
Or whatever. General actually. You know, The Naked Gun is a movie that's just come out. It's a reboot or a sequel of the old ones with Leslie Nielsen. I'm interested in seeing it, but I realized that, like, you know, I'm 32 years old. I've been going to the cinema for, you know, many of those years, off and on, sometimes more so than others. And I realized that I don't have a great sense of knowing for how long a particular movie is actually going to be getting showtimes. Now, the actual
Here's the thing.
Right.
It depends, and it's complicated.
It does depend, and it is complicated. And I've discovered
it
that.
Mm-hmm. It used to be that you would go to the theater, and a movie would be popular, and so it would be in the theater longer. And if the movie wasn't popular, it wouldn't be in the theater as long. And that used
this
to be a pretty reliable metric.
Yeah. This much.
And
I
then
knew.
Disney came in.
I was going to say, I know
and
it's not
Disney
the same anymore.
Said every theater must carry our movies for at least X number of weeks, no matter how well they're performing.
The first one to really be affected, this I feel like, in my perception of it anyway, was the first of the new Star Wars movies. I feel like that one was the first one where you heard about cinemas having to sign on for a certain number of performances per day or a certain duration.
Because what are you going to do, not carry Star Wars?
Right, yeah. You're going to have the new Star Wars. Everyone wants to see it. I saw it opening night.
Yeah, because the mouse can come in and beat you up. And you're going to say thank you because you got to screen the new Star Wars.
Right, and they own everything now. Yeah.
Then there's the other problem, which is streaming release dates. Because a lot of movies, before they've even had a chance to perform in theaters, have their streaming date already set.
Right.
And usually it's something fucking stupid, like a month out from release. Which means that if you're releasing a movie and it comes out in streaming in a month, you have a total of 4 weeks to make your entire profit from it in the theater. before you are saying we are done collecting money, period, no matter how well this does.
Which seems pretty silly to me, I'll be honest.
I don't really get it. I don't think it's a very good business model, and I think it is Netflix's fault that the movie industry is dying.
I agree with that, yes.
And it's not even controversial for me to say that the movie industry is dying. Just go look at the IATSE subreddit. They will confirm for you that the movie industry is fucking dead. Nobody can get work anymore. It is appalling.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, you can tell that even if you read Variety on the regular, which is pretty much always just fluff pieces for executives in the industry and losers like me.
Of course. Fluff pieces for executives.
I thought you were going to type losers like me. I'll type that one. So, yeah, no, I just wanted to know how long The Naked Gun was going to be in cinemas, because I didn't want to miss it. I have a vague sense of it coming out like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and I figure it's probably safe if I go see it this week, which leads me into the actual reason I Googled this, because we've talked about this a little bit before, but it's so long ago and my brain is mush, and I kind of wanted an update anyway, because the last time I went to the cinema was, I forget what it was exactly, but it was the AMC downtown.
It was Wes Anderson, wasn't it?
No. Okay, so I'm wrong. The last time I went to the cinema was, I saw that at SIFF downtown. I saw that at the former Cinerama. Before that, I can't remember what movie it was, but it was definitely at the AMC downtown. In the auditorium that still had broken air conditioning like a year after Barbenheimer.
So that would have been... Oh, it was still broken a year after Barbenheimer?
It was either still broken or it came back and then broke again. But I went in for there for something. I forget what. And it was not operating properly.
That is fucked. I am so glad I don't go to that theater anymore.
Right. So that's the thing. It's been... I assume you're still on Regal Unlimited, right?
Oh, yeah, and I love Regal Unlimited. Regal Unlimited is great. If you love going to a bunch of movies every month for $25 to $28 a month.
So
and what's great about it is you mm-hmm. can get like 40X movies as well. They're $8 more each, which is it's a fine deal as far as I'm concerned. 3D movies, not an upcharge at all. IMAX, well, only certain theaters support IMAX. And so if you want to go to a theater that supports IMAX, you have to have the right Regal Unlimited plan for that theater. So that's saying that with my current plan, I cannot go up to the IMAX at Northgate and watch the Regal at Northgate because my pass doesn't work at that theater, because that's an extra $4 a month that I am personally not willing to spend, because I just don't go up there to watch IMAX that frequently.
I forgot that the one up at Northgate was also a Regal. Okay, so one of my questions here, besides are you still liking Regal Unlimited and do you like the Regal downtown, is if I want to get back into going to the movies on the reg now that I'm gainfully employed again, is that the unlimited option I should go with? And it sounds like the answer is yes.
The answer is a hard maybe.
Sure. If that's the sort of thing I want to do and not just pay for tickets as I go.
Well, the thing is, we've been talking about picking up another unlimited movie subscription package.
Oh, there's a third one?
There is a competitor in town. Are you familiar with the Seattle International Film Festival and its associated chain of theaters?
Yeah, I'm quite fond of them, actually.
Did you know that they do SIFF Unlimited?
I actually didn't. I was idly looking at their membership page, but I did not notice. Maybe I wasn't reading it well enough. I did not notice that they had an unlimited plan.
They have two different subscription tiers.
Okay.
One is for all of the theaters except downtown.
Okay.
And one also includes downtown.
Right. And SIFF Egyptian is still closed, but SIFF Uptown does really good programming on a regular basis that I often...
And it's a good environment.
It's a good environment. It's right on a convenient bus line for me. Their popcorn is brilliant. Their programming, I think, is the main draw there, and that's true for the Egyptian, too, when it was open and when it opens again, hopefully. All right, so now I have... How much is it? How much do they want for it?
It's comparable.
Okay, because SIFF Downtown gets first runs most frequently of their cinemas.
Yeah.
I think only.
For the bigger movies, yes. Smaller movies, first runs will go to Uptown.
Oh, okay. All right, well, now I've got some deliberations to make.
I'm going to have to I will find the page about the Sif Unlimited or whatever they call it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's called Sif Annual Pass.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it's Sif Annual Pass. So at just downtown, it's $200 for the year if you're a member.
Okay.
Unlimited at all four Sif venues is $400 a year if you're a member.
Okay. All right.
But if you only want to go to Cinema Uptown, Egyptian, and Film Center, that's $250 for a member.
Mm. All right.
And okay, membership, so... I remember being semi-negligible.
Yeah, I think it's like 60
membership's
bucks
not that expensive.
No, no. Okay.
75 bucks a year.
Yeah, that's negligible. That's money I'm happy to give them anyway, because I like Sif.
So it's $75 plus $400. So $475 per year, which comes out to about $40 a month if you want access to everything that they do.
Yeah, so it's a bit more than Regal, but... I think...
But if you're willing to skip out on the downtown, it gets a lot cheaper real quick.
Well, that too. But also, I think Sif has so many good movies programmed in general that it might make more sense. Because I feel like a lot of times if they're showing a movie that I haven't seen before or a movie that I would love to see again that I've watched, maybe not on a big screen, it ends up at Uptown.
Yeah.
And... Right. I feel like downtown gets first runs that I want to see often enough anyway.
I don't need downtown because what am I going to do? Go watch the entire new Star Wars marathon, like all 9 movies that they're doing?
I mean,
that's a large. But here's the thing. That's a large chunk of movies that I don't need to see that are clogging up their screen for like a month.
That's true. That is true. They were just doing that Kurosawa retrospective. But
the Kurosawa retrospective probably would have been worth it.
But I feel like at that point, if you're a member, use your member discount and it's probably fine.
That's the thing is I think that I would go for the unlimited movies at Sif Cinema Uptown, Egyptian and Film Center and then skip downtown.
Except for when they've got something that I want. Yeah, I think that might be it.
And then just buy those on a what's it called? There's a word I'm looking for that I don't have. Per needed basis.
Yeah. All right. Nope. That is not the answer I was expecting to get from you, but it is a more useful answer.
But it's also not helpful. I know.
It's not. It is not helpful in that you've probably just cost me more money than I was going to spend, but not more money than I was willing to spend, all things considered. So
the thing that Yao and I have kind of decided is that we're going to hold off on getting the Triple Theater Pass until Egyptian opens up again.
That's reasonable, actually.
Because I think that once the Egyptian is back up, that's, you know, so close walking distance.
It's right there. Yeah, it's right there.
That it just makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know they haven't posted an update since, like, March about... restoring programming there because they couldn't hold anything from the May festival there.
They keep saying that it'll reopen in 2025, but I just don't believe them.
No, I don't either.
You don't recover from a water main break with this few updates that quickly.
No. Honestly, even if they were doing more updates, I don't think you'd be recovering that quickly anyway. Like they could be doing
surprised that they're reopening at all.
They just signed that agreement to keep running it for, like, I think 10 years with that college there that owns the building.
Seattle Central.
That's the one. Yep. I love their slogan because their tagline on their sign. One of the Seattle colleges, it says. And I know what they're trying to say here.
I may have complained about that on this podcast.
You might have, actually, or I did. One of us did. I enjoy it. I enjoy that, like, I don't think they meant it to be self-deprecating, but it definitely reads like it does, and I appreciate
the... Seattle Central, one of the Seattle colleges.
I appreciate the honesty, you know? We're, you know, it's one of the colleges in Seattle. It's whatever.
I just wish that they would have chosen a better name for their, like, group of schools than just calling it Seattle Colleges.
Yeah, it does sort of cause namespace pollution with Seattle University.
Or any other college that's in Seattle.
There aren't that many, though.
There are a few.
There's a few, but there's not that many. It's not like, we don't have, like, Boston levels of college density.
Well, no. We couldn't, because, quite frankly, we're not...
Pretentious enough?
Pretentious was the word I was trying to avoid.
I don't mind. I'm
not yuppie enough.
I don't think that's true. I think this is a very yuppie city, but in a West Coast kind of way, you know.
That's the difference. West Coast and East Coast are very different animals.
It's a very different kind of yuppie. You're entirely right. I wear boat shoes around here, and it makes me a rarity.
It does. Okay, we've gotten way off track. Where were we?
How long is Naked
Gun in cinemas?
Yeah.
Naked Gun will be in cinemas for at least another week or two.
Right. And I still haven't been to the Regal, so I'm going to go there and see how I like it.
Yeah, ping me. I'll go with you.
Anyway. Sure. Have you seen Naked Gun yet?
Not yet. I've heard that my favorite actor of all time does make an appearance.
Who's that?
Al Yankovic, of course.
Oh, right. No, I did hear about this potential cameo.
You dumbass. You absolute noob.
Call me a Philistine. I just don't think of him as an actor that often.
Oh, then you have not been keeping up with the last 10 years of his career since he stopped releasing albums.
No, I know. I know. He does keep popping up places. Kind of like your dream.
You know, I was just commenting earlier that, like, I should be more obnoxious with my fandoms, given how obnoxious some of our friends are about Taylor Swift.
You were just saying that, yes.
I was just saying that, and I realized I kind of just do that with Weird Al.
Yeah, like, I think you doing this about, I forget which genre, I think it was metalcore?
Yeah.
You know, I think that could be interesting. I think that could be a fun
it's
arc
for
you.
It's not as good of a bit.
But it's not as good as a bit, and you do also already do it with Weird Al.
Right. I think I just need to lean into the Weird Al a little bit more.
My completely unproblematic
fave.
I already know that if I go somewhere with you that has touchtunes, I'm going to hear at least one track from Weird Al Yankovic.
I mean, yeah, because the Hamilton Polka fucks.
It does. That's the problem. It does.
Okay, so you were asking me, what were you asking me about?
You just walked all over my segue, and it's fine. I was asking you about your drain stopper. Because you searched how to remove tub drain stopper, and I feel like the usual answer is pull it.
So, I've done some Googling this week.
Yeah.
And I have learned that there are three types of tub drain stoppers.
Really?
There's the kind that you just pull up and it comes out.
Sure. Classic.
There's the kind that you have to kind of screw out.
Screw out?
Yeah, like you slightly push it down, and then halfway down it kind of clicks, and you can just screw it out.
In a tub?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, never mind, no. I know the type you mean now. I just... This sort of thing is so dependent on who made the decisions about the fixtures in your particular domicile. And it's entirely possible to have just avoided one of these types, I suppose, just by sheer happenstance. Because I don't think I've ever lived in an apartment or a house that had a tub of that variety, but I have encountered them occasionally at other people's. Yeah, that makes sense. That's the kind where you can just sort of tap it to open and close it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. No, I'm with you. Never mind, I'm with you.
There's a third kind.
What is it?
So, you know the little metal nubbin at the top that you like grab if you want to lift it up or whatever?
Right. Yeah.
That nubbin can screw off. And then there's a flathead screw inside that you then have to remove with a screwdriver.
Oh.
So those are the three kinds of tub drain stoppers. And I was excited to find out that those are the three kinds and that there are only three kinds and that your answer is going to be one of those three solutions.
Noel, is there a fourth one?
There fucking must be! Because I can't get the goddamn thing open! I've tried everything! I've done all of the reasonable things here. I've lifted it up. I've tried to do the little screwy thing. I've gone in there with a screwdriver. Nothing. Jack shit. I cannot get this thing out. And let me tell you, the tub is clogged. You cannot take a shower without standing in 2 inches of liquid.
Oh, I had that problem, but it just because I had to the drain was clogged. And I had not the stopper, but like the actual like down the pipe. I had to give it the old vinegar and baking soda trick.
See, I've done the whole Drano thing.
Yep.
I've poured everything
building,
down that drain.
My
that
building
I can
has
think of.
Signs up saying not to use Drano.
That's because they're probably using PVC pipes somewhere.
I think this building is too old for that. unless there's been some. Yeah, because like it's the building's 1960. As far as I know, the pipes are metal. Unless something down this, like down in the basement where it all comes together, is PVC. I don't know. I assumed it was because also if you have a really old house, they say not to use Drano either because those pipes are questionable in terms of structural integrity sometimes, and Drano can make it worse. Sure. But yeah, I assumed it was an age thing. It might be a PVC thing. I don't know.
So I know what the issue is, and the issue is that I shed hair like nobody's business, and my wife sheds hair like nobody's business, and it all goes down the stupid drain. We put a little like, what do they call them? Tub stopper, whatever you call them things.
Yeah.
The little rubber things that catch all the hair.
Not a grater. Colander.
we have a colander on the drain, and that catches a lot of it. But obviously, some stuff still gets through. I really need to get in there with a snake and just snake the ever-loving shit out of that thing.
Right.
But I can't because I can't remove the goddamn stopper.
Yep. Oh.
And I don't want to send a request to facilities for this because they're going to say that's not our problem.
Or they're going to say they'll send a guy in like, you know, in 3 weeks between 6 a.m. and 4 p.m.
I'm fine with that. It's been longer than 3 weeks already. I've been wanting to get this thing out of there for probably 6 months now.
Oh, my God. Ugh, yeah.
And every so many weeks, I go back to it and I go, I bet I can remove it this time. And you know what doesn't happen? I don't fucking remove it.
This is such a... finding plumbing parts is such a pain in the dick. My toilet runs too much.
Would you say it's just plum frustrating?
Boo. my toilet's been running off and on when I'm not using it, by which I mean actively flushing it for probably about a year now.
For sure.
I replaced the float valve, assuming that was the problem, because it seemed like it was acting weird.
You got to replace the float valve.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I have a vague idea of how old this toilet is based on the date code in the tank. And fortunately, that also told me which valve to buy, because that's not always obviously apparent. It's a Kohler, so like they have all their shit on the website where it's like, if you have this code on the tank, you need this kind of flapper and this kind of float valve and XYZ other parts. So
that's
great on them.
Shockingly convenient.
Yeah, and great on whoever owned this apartment or this condo in the 1980s and bought a Kohler toilet. Genuinely, thank you. It's made all of this easier. Except that didn't fix it, and I'm pretty sure it's the float valve. I just haven't gotten around to draining the fucking tank, replacing the flapper thingy, and putting it back together and seeing if that stops the running. And I've just been living with it, because if you close the door, you can't hear it. But, you go to the hardware store, and...
Speaking of hardware store, great song by Weird Al Yankovic.
It is a good song.
I'm just going to shoehorn that in at every opportunity now.
I should have seen that coming. No, you go down to Pacific Supply, and like it's not that big a store, but they still have an overwhelming wall of parts for toilets and drains and sinks and all manner of plumbing nonsense. And it's just
because that's how hardware stores are.
Yeah, that's just how they are. And there's no way, like, at least my toilet tells me the information I need to find the parts I need. You can't look at the drain in your tub. It's in the tub. There's no markings on the outside.
You know what would make it easier?
What?
If there were a way to, like, search using some sort of intelligence, we'll say artificial intelligence to search, I think that would be the safe way. Can you tell me why you Googled Safeway search AI?
Yeah, the fucking grocery store app has an AI assisted search function now.
To do what?
Well, that was my first question, right? Like, what the hell? Okay,
you have an AI companion built in. Great, fine, whatever. That's
what
fantastic
for you. What does it
do? What can I do with that I can't do normally?
The suggestions are, like, trying to find recipes that use a certain ingredient that might be something on your shopping list.
I'm sorry, are we looking for recipes on Safeway.com now?
Apparently. I was just trying to look at the coupons to see if they had any of the shit I normally buy on special this week with the stupid having to clip the coupon in the app thing.
If I want recipes...
No, sorry, go first. You go first.
If I want recipes, I'm going to go to thevirginhomesteader.com.
That is not a real website. No.
You can't know that for sure until you type it in.
Virgin Homesteader. That just sounds like a Richard Branson thing. It's also terrible. No, it's...
God, I hope that's a recipes website.
It is... No, it's just corrected to Virginian Homesteader, which is a website about outdoor plants.
Okay, I'm willing to change topics.
Yeah. No, so fucking, here's my rant about the Safeway app, besides how they've wedged a fucking AI chatbot into the search box.
Tell me Safeway, more.
The Safeway I go to occasionally, I don't like Safeway, but I like them... Or I dislike them less than I like either the QFCs that are nearby. And they closed the Whole Foods that was in walking Kroger? Distance. Safeway is Albertsons.
Safeway is Albertsons, okay.
Yeah, so that's Jewel Osco, that's Shaw's, that's Star Market, that's Acme.
I don't know what any of those are.
Jewel Osco is the one that would be closest to where you used to live, and that's Illinois. I don't know where else they used to... I don't know if they... I feel like they own something else in the Midwest. They owned Skaggs, but that's always been out here.
I don't know what Skaggs is either.
They used to be a grocery store out here.
I imagine there are a lot of things that used to be a grocery store out here because there sure aren't anymore.
Well. They got, Jewel Osco, Kings. No, that's New York. Lucky, that's Utah. I'm wrong. I must be thinking of something else. Oh, they also own Vons if you're in California. Anyway, I've heard of Vons. Yeah. Albertsons, I think, is their largest label, but they also own Safeway. Point being, I like them, or I dislike them slightly less than I dislike the QFCs here in town, which is Kroger. And I also really like Safeway's fried chicken. I think it's very good for grocery store fried chicken.
Really?
Yeah, and they do a sale on Mondays. It's great. Anyway, also... It's more convenient for me because I can just take the fucking G line there. It's great. One of my many beefs with the Safeway on Madison is that the Wi-Fi doesn't work in the store, and it's a dead zone for T-Mobile inside the store. So if you're in the store and you see something that's on a coupon of the type where you have to have clipped the coupon in the app order to get the savings, you can either get in a fight with their captive Wi-Fi portal where, it usually works for me after like a cycle of... forgetting the network and then rejoining it twice. It usually works after that, but I can't get cell signal there unless I'm standing right next to the windows at the front of the store. So at this point, I'm going in beforehand and clipping the coupon for anything I think I might want. And it's pretty decent at popping up things that I've bought before and saying like, hey, there's a coupon for this. Look at this. Click me. Yay. So that's what I've been... No. That's just me personifying the thing that they had before they shoved the AI in. Now, in addition to that, whenever you use the search box in any way whatsoever, if you tap the wrong half of the search box, it brings up the chatbot.
Mm.
And the search box is not that wide because it's, it's a bar at the top of the screen and is flanked by buttons on either side.
Now,
It's not a good app.
Can I use this chatbot to generate nude photos of Taylor Swift? Because there are other chatbots that can do that, like really famous ones even.
I am not aware of any...
I feel like if Safeway can't keep up with the competition, they're going to fall behind.
I am not aware of any image generation capabilities that the Safeway AI chatbot has. I did complain about this in a different Discord server, and a friend of mine who lives in the Star Market zone... tried to trick the chatbot into A, giving her some coupons that don't exist but are still valid, or B, getting it to spit out unrelated answers about Python as long as they were groceries related. Neither of those worked, but she did have some fun doing some weird like text encoding nonsense and tricking it into answering in silly personifications anyway. So it's not, there are some guardrails to it, but there are not that many. And I don't think it has the ability to make images at all, unlike The one owned by that social media company, the one in San Francisco.
The only thing I want out of an AI at this point, and I could be wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing I want out of an AI at this point is for them to violate someone's rights so spectacularly that they get sued and lose the case.
I was really wondering where that sentence was going. Yeah.
Like,
no,
that's what I want out of a chatbot at this point.
I feel like it's the only viable route we have to getting any oversight on these fucking things at this point. Because,
I bring up the Taylor Swift nudes thing. And that's in jest. Obviously, that's in jest. I don't think the AI should be used to generate nudes of anyone ever without explicit consent. And quite frankly, I have trouble imagining who's going to be giving that consent.
As do I.
That said, I know people were doing it with Grok already. And I really want to see that lawsuit come to fruition.
Well, they already, one of the image generating ones already had to put some guardrails in after what I assume was a cease and desist issued by the Walt Disney Corporation. Most of them won't let you request an image of Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck doing anything at all, in fact. But certainly not
anything to the president.
No, of course not. No, you cannot ask Grok to make an image of Donald Duck with a sniper rifle on the roof of the federal office building. You just can't. You can't do it.
You can't ask Grok to do that, but maybe you should be able to.
Maybe you should be able to. I would just ask Reddit for that.
I'm coming around on it. I'm pro AI at this point.
Oh, no. No! No! Absolutely the fuck not. All right, you search Reddit for... Actually, that one isn't interesting. Tell me about StagePaw. That one sounds more interesting.
Okay, so I don't know how online you have been the past couple of days, but I've done some posting online about this recent job that I worked.
I've seen the posts. I've seen your posts.
And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Noelle, didn't you rant about your job for 10 minutes on the last episode and then have to cut it all out for fear of getting fired?
That's
well,
right.
Yes,
you
I did.
You did do that.
And so it's time to talk about work again.
Fantastic. Hell yeah.
I showed up for work this week with a new employer. Yet another new employer. I am becoming Employers Georg. And when I got there, I very quickly realized that basically 100% of the people I was working with were furries.
This is usually a good sign for the company.
And they were not even remotely trying to hide it. Like, half of them were just using their fur names as their primary name in the workplace.
Oh, that's great. That's brilliant.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I really enjoyed the vibe of it. It was great energy. And a bunch of them were wearing merch that said StagePaw on it.
Oh, that's brilliant. I love
obviously
that.
Obviously a play on stagehand. Except, you know, stage paw because they're furries.
Right.
And I just really enjoyed working with these people all week. And you know me. I've long been furry curious.
You have tendencies.
I have tendencies. I'm certainly more furry curious. I can't say words. I am certainly more furry curious now than I was at the beginning of the week. So I Googled StagePaw because I'm like, there's no way that all of these people have this merch and it's not a Googleable thing.
Right. Yeah.
And so I Googled it, and what it basically is, or what it seems to be to me, is it is a collective of stagehands who work at FurCons.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's a place for stagehands to get connected to furry conventions or furry events so that they can get work.
Yeah.
So that way the furry event is hiring from within the community.
That makes sense. I like it.
So I put in my application.
Oh, nice. Congrats.
But yeah, it's real fun. It's real interesting. And I am hoping to get to do a lot more work with these guys. And hopefully I can get on StagePaw's mailing list.
Yeah, hopefully. That sounds great for you. It really does.
They wanted my resume, so I had to update my resume for the first time since February.
Oof.
Because I keep getting employers without having to show my resume.
Right, yeah, that's kind of how that feels.
Oh, God damn it.
What?
I just submitted my resume and I realized that I forgot to add an employer.
Oh.
So now I have to go back and modify my resume again, but...
Ugh. Well.
Oh, well. I'm already at 3 pages. What's one more?
Yeah, once you're at that point, you know, I'm fighting the good fight to keep mine at 2 at this point, and I know the next time I need a job, I don't think it's going to work anymore. But I'll burn that bridge when I get to it, which hopefully isn't for a while.
I'm solidly at 3 pages of resume at this point, and I'm not thrilled about that.
Yeah. Well,
and that is without including any of my data analysis experience.
Right, no, that's just stuff you've done while working for or via IATSE. Yeah, you've done a lot with that.
For arts and shit, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Ugh, it's annoying. Tell me about... I don't want to ask about that. I don't want to ask about this, but I do feel called to it.
Uh-huh.
Why are you Googling OmniFocus in 2025? Are you not getting things done?
No, I'm trying to start getting things done. That's the problem. No, I am. As we mentioned in the last episode, you know, I have a job again. I'm trying to claw my way out of the past year or so of depression and executive dysfunction related to not having a job. And I'm realizing that, like, I need to make some to-do lists. I need to keep an inventory of the things that I didn't get around to doing or couldn't do, and the things that I would like to do now that I have more executive function than I used to. And I realized that, well, this is like the most classic getting things done problem, right? Like, I have a mental model of a very loose mental model of a bunch of shit that might need doing at some point, and no system whatsoever of categorizing them or even keeping track of them.
You can't keep track of maybe someday shit with OmniFocus, though. The whole point of getting things done is that you have set deadlines for things, and so those things have to be done based on their set deadlines. And so if you don't have the set deadlines, how can you utilize getting things done at all?
So I have tried to do this in the past, actually, with OmniFocus and with a couple other methods. And you're right. OmniFocus doesn't work for that. I mostly was looking that up just because I haven't tried OmniFocus in like 3 or 4 years. And I wanted to see if they'd done anything really like really interesting with it, anything really novel or anything really just like breathtakingly, groundbreakingly obvious that they hadn't worked out before. And the answer, of course, is no, they haven't. It's a task management app. They haven't really invented anything new there except for worse ways of doing it.
Have they integrated AI at this point?
As far as I can tell, no.
Incredible.
Yeah, no, I don't see
it. I'm genuinely surprised.
I was also extremely surprised about that, but I did not see any mention of AI integration in here at all. Like, they have some automation stuff going on, but that's not AI. That's just like their own plugin language, or you can do Apple scripts if you're running the Mac version. Yeah, no, I mean, they have a VisionOS app. They have OmniFocus for the Apple goggles.
Sure. And, you know, yeah, I am personally very invested in VR as of this week.
For unrelated reasons, I'm sure.
For unrelated reasons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I didn't see any mention of them.
I didn't learn a lot about how to pirate movies in VR chat.
No, of course not. Never. Why would you? Why would anyone even think that you could? I wasn't even thinking about VR chat at all when you mentioned hanging out with a bunch of furries. Anyway, no, I didn't see any AI stuff, but I also, you know, they haven't changed that much. It's still more or less the same OmniFocus has always been, for better or for worse. In my case, for worse. I think I'm just going to have to do index cards on a list, because you don't have to give those things to-do dates if you just need a list of things to do when you've run out of things to do, you know? Like, I just need to get it out of my brain and onto somewhere where I can see it and not have to constantly be remembering it. And I think it's just going to be the index cards
again.
Can
I tell you what I do for that?
Yeah, totally.
Drafts.
I haven't tried drafts at all yet. I've heard so much about it. from all of our favorite podcasters.
The great
but
thing,
I have not
the
tried
great
it.
Thing about drafts, the great mm-hmm. thing about drafts is that every time you open it, it gives you a blank canvas.
Okay. Yeah.
Every time you open it, it is automatically by default at a new file. You don't have to make the file. You don't have to save the file.
Okay. Okay.
So you open it and you start typing and then you close the app. And then you open it and you start typing and then you close the app. And then when you're ready, you swipe over and you see all of your notes.
Oh, okay.
Just
all
in
right.
the sidebar.
Okay. It's just and so the, I yeah, have, it's just an inbox. Yeah.
Right. So I currently have in my inbox, I have the number 40 because that was my number when I went to go to get a hamburger at the restaurant yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And you don't need that anymore.
And I don't need that anymore, so I can move that to trash.
Yeah.
I have a note on how to get movies in VR.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You need that one.
I have a note that I'm genuinely not sure what it is. It just has the words, "The Earth is Weeping."
It sounds like an album, maybe.
It does sound like it might be an album. I'm going to have to Google that and figure out what it is.
It's a book. It's a book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a history book about the Indian Wars.
That doesn't seem like what I was probably looking for then.
You know, that's fair, actually.
Oh, I know what it is.
What is it?
I was halfway through Black Braid's new album, and because Tidal doesn't always remember where you left off, I wrote down the song title from one of their songs, which makes sense because Black Braid is, in fact, a native black metal project.
That makes
so
sense.
So it makes sense that that's what one of the songs would be titled. Okay, so I can
there
delete that note.
Yep.
My next note down is song lyrics for a song I'm working on.
Makes sense.
The next note down is a thing that I need to do. So actually, I should keep track of that one.
Mm-hmm.
The next note down is my introduction for Idle Curiosities, which I have recently modified so that I can have an up-to-date intro. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I just use drafts like that where each thing is just like, okay, this might be a thing I need to check off, delete, or archive.
Okay, so that's much closer to the classic hipster PDA style of index cards than...
It really is, and I like it a lot. Okay. It works for me.
Maybe I should try that then. Because, like, I'm still stuck in the problem where the three most useful tools I've used for this, in order of how much I've liked them, you know, has been number one, Index Cards, number two, a Palm Pilot, number three, OmniFocus. So, like, right. I don't know. Maybe I need to try drafts. Maybe that's something I need to try. Because it sounds like I hear so much about people using drafts in Rube Goldbergian ways because that's what people do when they talk about productivity apps on podcasts, as we know. But, yeah, maybe I should try it.
I use drafts to about 5% of its potential power, and it is still one of my favorite apps that I use day in and day out. I use it literally every single day.
And it's just, yeah, I mean, that just sounds like how I handle either the fucking saved messages chat with yourself on Telegram or working backwards in my field notes. Yeah.
Right. And I know it's a little Merlin man to say it, but mm-hmm. drafts is where my thoughts start.
Okay, yeah.
I
that
start with my
slogan.
Thoughts in drafts, and then I move them elsewhere.
Yeah, their slogan is where text starts.
Is it really?
Yeah, that is.
Goddamn.
That is the
great
subheader
slogan.
On their website. Yeah.
Great, great fucking slogan. Mm-hmm. They nailed it.
Can't
got it in one.
Can't argue with it. Yeah, all right, fuck it, I'll try drafts.
Try drafts, I think you'll like it.
I'll try it. Maybe it's what I need. Maybe it's what I've needed this whole time.
And
I still
there are
like
plenty of weeds
down,
to get
though.
Lost in if you want to.
Oh, sure, of course. Well, that's the thing. That's a trap for me. That's a trap for a lot of people. That's why I stopped using org mode. Someone asked me about this last week, about like, hey, what do you use org mode? Have you liked it? You're a big Emacs head. And I was like, org mode sucks. Org mode is great if your brain works the same way the guy who originally wrote org mode does. But he clearly hadn't read Getting Things Done.
I need... Give me your TLDR. What is org mode?
Org mode is a function in the Emacs text editor for... It started out as a note-taking system, but it evolved into note-taking and task/project management.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's productivity software for Emacs.
Yes. Yeah. Written by like two guys, neither of whom read Getting Things Done.
Well, no. Why would you do the required reading?
Admittedly, I've only read like 2/3 of Getting Things Done, but you know.
Oh, I've done even less.
Right. Yeah. But you've listened to the audiobook, by which I mean Merlin Mann's podcasts.
Yeah, no, I've got the idea. I've got it solid. It's like, I don't need to read a book about autism anymore.
No, you understand it. You get it.
Like, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. And occasionally, if you decide to go read the book, you'll be like, oh, I didn't know that was an autism thing, or oh, I didn't know that was actually a productivity concept. But most of the time, you're reading it, and you're like, yeah, no, yeah, I know this. Yep, I'm familiar. Yep, yep, been there. Yep, got that. Yep, got the t-shirt.
The main thing I'm getting out of the autism book I'm reading is just a lot of me going, okay, so that does validate the thing that I already knew. I guess that was good information.
There is a certain value to that. What book are you reading right now, by the way?
I am reading Unmasking Autism by Dr. Devin Price.
Okay, all right. Are you enjoying
it? It's very good. Dr. Price is trans.
Okay.
Autistic themselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it's written very much from a perspective of what does autism look like in marginalized communities?
Oh, sure. Yep. Yeah. Now that makes sense.
And so it really goes deep on, okay, why aren't people with color diagnosed at the same rates? Why aren't women diagnosed at the same rates? Well, why aren't trans people diagnosed at all? And when they are, why does it seem like every trans person is getting diagnosed?
Yeah. Why wasn't I diagnosed as a kid when I displayed so many obvious symptoms, you know?
Did you have girl autism or boy autism?
not to do gender essentialism, but I'm pretty sure that I have the girl autism.
Yeah, I wondered.
Yeah, yeah.
That's something I'm still not sure about, even having gotten through this far of the book, is how much of that is complete bullshit.
I am also still not sure about that one, but also, in its defense, it doesn't just apply to autism. All manner of neurological conditions or mental disorders are either misdiagnosed or completely undiagnosed in women more frequently than they are in men.
Sure.
So, like, I think there's something to it. I don't know how much of it there is in comparison to how much people think there is, but I do think that it's rooted in something real. You know, I do think it's rooted in...
Well, I'm not having an autistic meltdown. I'm not having an autistic meltdown. I have a case of hysteria.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You're not nonverbal. You're just reserved.
Right. I'm not, you know, needing a lobotomy. I just need to go off to the sea.
Honestly, I think a lot of people would benefit with, like a month at a seaside resort. We've talked about this on the show before. We've joked about this, but like...
I'm sure we have.
But I just, you know... So
I can bring up something we haven't talked about on the show before.
Go ahead.
And you too, listener, can hear what this is if you pay $2 a month at patreon.com/idlecuriosities. Because, Liz, I want to know why you Googled AFI behind the clock.